This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And then Allah says, Allahu yabda'ul khalq, thumma yu'iduhu, thumma ilayhi turja'un. He begins creation and then He recreates it. So the recreation of the world. Thumma ilayhi turja'un. And you return to Him. So here's, look at creation. What we're being told there is if you look in at the world, you'll see that there's creation and then there's recreation. And what that should indicate to you, ulul albab, people who think about this, is that you too have been created and you too will be recreated. So just like you see these hills not that long ago and they were all barren and now they're all green like they were last year. So they've been brought back to life after dying. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ. And when the day when this moment really here it means, I mean, sa'a is not really the hour, it means the moment, right? Sa'a, because, you know, qama min sa'atihi in Arabic, he got up immediately. The Arabs use sa'a to mean something that's immediate. And the sa'a is, I mean, it's translated generally as the hour, but it means that momentous event of the recreating. Yubdis al-mujrimun. And that's when the criminals, the mujrimun, the people of ijram, the people that did all these horrible things in the world, yublisu, they have iblas. In other words, they despair. Because now it's suddenly all come home. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِهِمْ شُفَعَىٰ. And they don't, none of these things they associated with other than Allah, they won't intercede for them. وَكَانُوا بِشُرَكَائِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. And then they will even disbelieve in all of these things they worshipped in this world. They disbelieve in them. Because they realize it's empty. It's one of the signs of the latter days is that money becomes so prevalent that nobody wants it. It's one of the signs of the latter days. And the Prophet ﷺ said people will actually hold money in their hand and they say, for this I killed people. Yeah, I actually took life for this. And now it's meaningless. So it's about these mental formations, right? It's about how you're viewing the world. Because your attachment to it at any given moment does not mean that you're going to be attached to it at another moment. There's people that will cling on to life at any cost, but then if they get a terminal illness, they want to die. Right? There's people that will actually ask other people to help them kill themselves. So attachment, the nature of that attachment is that at any given moment you can be attached, but it's not permanent because what you're attached to is not permanent. As long as you're attached to an impermanent thing, then your attachment by its nature is not permanent. And this is really important in relation to marriage because that's one of the things about the nature of human relation is attachment. This idea of ta'alluq, you know, that we become attached to the ephemeral and especially the four things, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Tunkih al-mar'atu li-arba." A woman is married for four things. He's speaking to the men. A woman is married because of four reasons: li-jamaliha, wa-li-maliha, wa-li-nasabiha, wa-li-hasabiha, wa-li-diniha, for her beauty, for her wealth, for her lineage, and then he said, and for her deen, her relationship with Allah. And then he said, "Fadfar bi-that ad-din taribat yadak." Fadfar means, dhafar in the Arabic language is really to achieve, to attain, but it has the idea of attaining something really valuable. The Arabs don't use it. He said, attain this woman of deen and may you have success. Because the thing about deen, those other three things are impermanent. They don't survive the world. Whereas deen, according to our understanding, it survives the world. So your wealth doesn't survive the world, your beauty doesn't survive the world, and your lineage doesn't survive the world, because when the nafkha happens, the Quran says, "La ansaba baynahum yawma idhin." There's no lineage between them. Ibn Abbas was asked about that in relation to the Prophet's family, and he said that's in the first nafkha. In the second nafkha, then when the intercession happens, there is benefit in that, because people have intercession. And obviously the Prophet ﷺ is the first and foremost. And then it says, وَيَوْمَ تَقُمَ السَّاعَةُ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ يَتَفَرَّقُونَ. And the day when this momentous event occurs, on that day, they will be sundered, they will be dispersed into groups. There's no unity then. So the thing about the nature of this world is the group mentality, what Ibn Khaldun called the asabiyya, that every group has this idea of asabiyya, that I'm part of a people, and you hold on to that pride, the tribal mentality, which Islam really came to remove that idea of. It doesn't mean to reject the people, to reject the clan, but it means not to see the clan as your ultimate reality, because the clan is incidental to your true nature. The Ethiopian cannot change his color and the leopard cannot change his spots, like the Bible says. Is that the outward, it's only incidental to you. And as long as you're in the world, that's part of your reality. But if you make that your ultimate, if you identify yourself by this outward form, then you're in a state of delusion. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that somebody asked him about asabiyya. And he said, it is to tu'inu qawmaka ala dhulm. It is to help your people do wrong. That's what's prohibited. In other words, it's not prohibited to help them do good. And it's also not prohibited to be concerned about your people first and foremost, because they're your people, and that's important. And Allah made that for a reason. So you should have a concern about your clan or your family. Al-aqrabun awla bin ma'ruf. Those closest to you have more right to your good than those in a distance. So there's nothing wrong with that. But the asabiyya is that when your clan overrides your principles. That's what is being condemned in Islam, is that tribalism. So that's all over. People will come even to their parents. Nafsi, nafsi. That's all over. So in this world, that plays a very important role. And you can see how, just in socioeconomic stratification in societies, how important clan, even in this culture, which might not be as severe as other cultures, because there's a kind of upward mobility, right? In some cultures, there's no upward mobility. You're stuck. In this culture, there's an upward mobility, but you can see that what you're born into, how much of an impact that's going to have on your success in the world. So to be born white in this country is an advantage, just by the mere fact that you were born with a different skin color. That's an advantage. So those things happen in this world, but in the next world, all of that has no relevancy. People are stripped of that reality. And they used it, those people that used it for wrong in this world, it's a grievous day, because they can't rectify those wrongs with it. They can't go to those, you know, their shuraka. They can't go to all those people that they were manipulating, or their false idols, because that is an idol. I mean, the difference, they say, between the savage and the civilized is the savage, his idols are made of wood and stone, but the civilized, his idols are made of flesh and blood. The real difference is that the idols haven't changed. They're still idols, but it's just the form changes. And then he says, as for those who disbelieved and denied our revelation, denied the meeting of the hereafter, such will be brought to this adab, this state of total alienation and distress.